This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This is God's word. Thank you. I don't know if you noticed, as Brother Bill was up here and people were talking in the church, it was a lot of references to the Great Commission, talking about going and making disciples and doing what God has called us to do in the world around us, and reaching out with the gospel, reaching out with truth. And I think that's of the Holy Spirit, that He laid that on our hearts, you know. And this is the passage that we're looking at here this morning. And I encourage you, if you'd like to follow along, in Matthew chapter 28. We call this the commission, right? No, we call this the Great Commission, because it is great indeed. Now, this series has to do with the resurrection. So, what does the Great Commission or the resurrection have to do with the Great Commission? What's the connection there? But if you think of it this way, the day Jesus rose from the dead, he became alive. And anyone after that resurrection who puts their faith and hope and trust in Jesus is given his life. Literally, given the life of Christ, the living Jesus, inside of the person who believes in Him. And as that life overflows in your heart, it is then poured out into the lives of others. So that the life is not contained within yourself, but that it is like you are filling up as a cup with the life of Jesus, and that life is then poured out into the lives of others. And so what the Great Commission is Jesus saying, "I'm alive, I'll be alive in you, and as you go out in the world and you share with others who I am, my life is going to flow into their lives, and they are going to receive life. And as they spread that gospel and they go around sharing the life of Christ, it is going to pour out into the lives of others." And every single one of us here today who has been born again is here because of the life of Jesus that started at the resurrection and has carried through Tom and Joe and Bill and Susan and Sarah and all these people throughout history that have taken that life and shared it with somebody else, and taken that life and shared it with somebody else. And eventually, whether it was your parent, whether it was some evangelist, a pastor, a friend, shared it with you. And now you're here today, alive, because of Jesus' resurrection. And today, we look at the Great Commission, which is the continuation of that Great Commission. The overflowing life of Jesus. The commission that Jesus has called us to is great. But why is it that so many Christians don't fulfill this commission? Why is it when you look at the church, particularly in the West, that people aren't sharing their faith? People aren't reaching out with the gospel. People are not involved in discipleship. There are many, many, many reasons. But I think one of the reasons is that we have not seen this commission as being great. We have not seen this commission as being a privilege. We have not seen the idea of being used by Almighty God to fulfill this global, eternal purpose of bringing people into the kingdom of God as something worthy of doing, something worth doing, something that we are privileged to do. The commission is a great commission. Now, as I was praying and studying over this passage of Scripture, I had kind of one approach to it, but Saturday morning I was here at the church, just still praying about this, and the Lord kind of rearranged everything. And so we're going to see what this mess has turned into be and see if we can be blessed as a result. Can we summarize this commission? I mean, sharing the gospel with other people is a great thing. Discipling those who are in need in the church is a great thing. Being used of Jesus in the global purpose is a great thing. Therefore, the Great Commission can be summarized by the acronym, GREAT. The Great Commission is great. Go, reach everyone, and train. The Great Commission. Go, reach everyone, and train. Now let me read to you this passage, and then we'll see how this unfolds in our lives. Remember, the disciples were told by Jesus back in Jerusalem, he said, go to Galilee, I'll meet you there. So they went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And he appeared to them, in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This commission is great. It's great first because we're called to go. That letter G, go. That's what he says. He says, authority has been given to me, go, therefore. Now that word go, when you read it, it has two meanings for us. First, it is a command. This Great Commission is a command for the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus has the right and authority to command us. He is Lord, and he can tell us what to do. If you jump back a verse, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Now, Jesus had he had all authority before he rose from the dead, but by rising from the dead, it was as if his authority put on a new dynamic. That's why Romans chapter 14, verse 9 says, for to this end Christ died and rose again, and that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. There's no question that over all this creation, Jesus Christ is Lord. He has authority. So that means when he gives us a command, we are to say, as his followers, yes, Lord. Now imagine you're doing construction on a job site and you're working for your boss. And imagine somebody, some stranger, just walks up to you off the street and says, you, right there, follow me, help me put on a roof. You'd look at them and you'd think to yourself, who do you think you are? You have no right to tell me what to do. I'm working for my boss over here. Which, by the way, is the same reaction we should have to Satan when he tempts us. Who do you think you are? I've got my boss over here. But imagine you're working and your boss, you're hammering in nails on the side of the building. And your boss walks up to you and he looks at you and he says, you, come here, help me put on this roof. Now, if you were to look at your boss and you were to say to him, who do you think you are? You would probably be booted on the street and fired in an instant. It makes a difference when there's an authority over the command. And so when Jesus looks at the church and he looks at us and he says, you go therefore and make disciples. Are we going to look at him and are we going to say, I'll think about it? Are we going to look at him and say, no, I'm too busy doing this right here? Or are we going to look at him and say, yes, Lord, show me what you want me to do and help me to do it? Now, some of us, when we have that command of going and making disciples, we immediately think, oh no, God's going to call me to be a missionary to Zimbabwe. No, the boss has a specific use for you. The boss has a specific position for you to fill. And what he has called you to do, he is going to give you the resources to do it. Jesus Christ is not going to command us to do something that we can't possibly do. That is something beyond our ability. He is going to command us to do something and give us the resources by His Spirit to do it. Because He's a good boss. He's not unjust. He's not a harsh taskmaster like Pharaoh who is telling those Israelites to make bricks without straw. Jesus is not looking at us saying, make bricks without straw. He's saying, come on, let's do this. I've got something for you. But go has a second meaning. It involves movement. It involves movement. Not only is it a command, but it involves movement. You see, when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, go, that meant that where they were, they had to leave. They were gathered together on the mountain and they were fellowshipping with Jesus, and Jesus looked at them and he said, go. No, they weren't going to leave him. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. But they had to go. You see, the gospel, the Great Commission, the fulfillment of it is something that involves us actually going somewhere. Now, we gather here once a week and we worship Jesus and we hear His word and we pray to Him and we fellowship with one another. But I remember a church once that I was at back out east, and we were there, and when you leave the parking lot, you get in your vehicle, as you're leaving the parking lot, next to the entrance to the parking lot was a sign saying, you are now entering your mission field. And I thought to myself, isn't that true? You see, what we do here is we are refreshed in our walk with the Lord. We are encouraged. We are exhorted. We are challenged. We are equipped. But then we take that and we go. The battle is fought outside the four walls of the church. Our interactions with people we meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon are all examples and interactions and instances where Jesus is sending us to go. I've used this illustration where I think of the church, the operations of the church, as kind of like a football team. You see, in a football game, there's a period of time when the players gather together in a huddle and they go over the game plan, and they the quarterback articulates what the play from the coach was, and they plan on that, and then they break, and then they take the football and they go from there. And I always think to myself, isn't that the way the church should be? When we gather together here once a week, it's like our huddle. We're coming together and we're hearing the quarterback kind of give us the play from our command in chief, our coach. And he's giving us the resources and he's encouraging us and we get pumped. And then we break and we go. And you've got players over on this side of the field doing their job, and everybody has a different position. You've got some who are just head on in the front lines, and then you got some that are sprinting off to the side. But out there, brothers and sisters, that's where the play is unfolded. That's where the football of the Word of God, of the Gospel is going. And out there where the people are that we have to meet and reach. Do we see ourselves as a part of that grand purpose? If we have reduced our Christian walk to a couple hours a week, we are missing out on the greatest privilege of human existence. But to be able to take every hour of every day of our lives and interact with our coach to fulfill the plays of bringing the gospel to those around us and fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus said, go. Are we going? Are we going? The second letter of the acronym GREAT, R, reach. Go reach. You see, he said, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples involves going where there are no disciples and reaching them to make disciples. We can think of this command as part of the Great Commission as bringing people to Christ for salvation. We are to reach the lost for the gospel. We are to reach out to those who are dying and in darkness to bring them the life and the light of Christ that we ourselves have experienced. There are myriads of people out there, just in our local area, that are entrenched in sin and see no way out of it, and don't want to get out of it, and don't see their need of salvation. And there are people that we see who are stuck, and they feel like they think that there's something better, but they don't know it. And they're just longing for that truth to come to them. You see, the Bible says that God is at work in people's lives, drawing them to Himself. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is telling those Athenian Greek philosophers, he's saying, God has put everybody in the pre-appointed positions and places that they might seek Him. Now, obviously, sin has blinded people and God has to draw them by His Holy Spirit. But there is that interaction with all people. Many of you know who have come to Christ that the gospel didn't just come to you one day and you believed and that was it, but that you know that there was this process, there was this working of God working in your heart and drawing you and showing you things and revealing truth to you until one day it became clear. And one day you realize you were a sinner. And one day you realize you needed Him. We are to reach out for those who need Christ. The world needs Jesus. People need the Lord. Now, why does Jesus include baptism in this Great Commission? Why does He say, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Because what baptism is, it is when somebody receives that gospel and they trust in Christ for salvation. It is that public declaration of saying, I am a Christian. I have been made a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so they're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. They become a part of that visible church body that is made up of those believers in Jesus. But we are to reach for them. We are to reach out. There are people that God has brought into your life that God wants you to reach. Did you know that? This is not something for the evangelist. This is something for you. And that leads to our third letter. Go reach everyone. Everyone. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. This Great Commission is a global goal. The gospel is a global goal. And from the day this commission was made, believers in Jesus have been spreading that all over. Now, what this does not mean for you, as I mentioned earlier, this does not mean for you, okay, Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, therefore I have to be a missionary in order to fulfill the Great Commission and go to some unreached people group. Well, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. In fact, if everybody here this morning just up and left and went to different countries all over the world with the gospel, who would reach Dodgeville? Now, mind you, somebody might be here this morning who's feeling that tug from the Lord, and maybe God's calling you to some foreign mission field. I don't know. I would love to see this church send out missionaries to unreached people groups. But for the most part, I believe that God has called us to reach Dodgeville, Ridgeway, Mineral Point, the places that God has placed us now. Everyone, E for everyone. God wants everybody to come to Christ and receive a knowledge of the truth. God wants all to be saved, so that if there is anyone who is walking this earth, you go into Walmart and you see people walking around, you go into the store to go shopping, if there is anybody in that store, anybody walking around there who doesn't know Christ, they're included. They're included. It doesn't mean we're all supposed to go and be missionaries, but it does mean that God has given you an influence in somebody else's life for the gospel. We have to ask ourselves, when we look at our lives, look at your life. Think of your life on any given day of the week. And ask yourself, are there instances when I cross paths with somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? God, I want to pray about them. I want to pray about that person. I want them to be made a disciple. I'll pray for them. God, I want to some way become an influence in their life. I want to in some way interact with them so that they can see what it means to be a Christian through my life. God, I want to build a relationship with them in some extent so that way they can hear that message, whether I invite them to the church or I invite them to my home. God, I want to reach that person. Now, some of us in this room have many more options because God has put us in a position where we can deal with a lot more people on any given day. Some of us, we just know that one. Or those two that always come on a Thursday. Or when we go to the store every Tuesday to go shopping, there's always that guy at the checkout lane. And he's hurting. And I always see him there. And I always say hello to him when I go through that checkout line. Lord, I'll pray for him. Lord, I'll see how I can strike up a conversation with him. Many of us have unsaved family members that we interact with. And I know what it's like to give up on unsaved family members. You've tried, you give them the gospel, you've prayed for them, nothing happens, you just kind of fizzles out. And once in a while, every 6 months, you think, I really should pray for so-and-so. They don't know the Lord. Lord, would you please save so-and-so? And another 6 months go by. We can stick to it. We can keep praying for that person. And when we talk with that person on the phone or interact with them in our lives, before we pick up that phone, before we walk in that door, Lord, help me to be a witness to this person. And in some way, to some degree, share the living Jesus with them. We all have different circumstances. It would be wrong for me to stand here and say everybody needs to do exactly the same thing. There was a point in my life when I worked at a restaurant and I was training new people who came in, and the restaurant had a big turnover rate, which tells you the environment it was in. A lot of these waiters and waitresses lasted probably 6 months. I was training a new person almost every week. And it was great. They followed me around for a week straight. I talked to them. I trained them. It was wonderful. Yeah, Lord, Monday came. Lord, who's the new person you have for me to be a witness to? And there they were. And I got to share the gospel with many, many different people in different ways. But then when I changed employment and started working in construction, I had the same people day in and day out, the same small handful of people, same faces every day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I realized immediately there's kind of a new dynamic to that. It's not so much, you know, you can just give it to them and send them on their way and walk on to the next one. No, Lord, you want me to be a living witness day after day after day. And as I interact with these people, be willing to bring things up as they come. Where has the Lord placed you? What situation are you in? And who can you influence? Now, this is where the message takes a shift. And it's that word for the letter A. And. And at first I think, what can I do with that? Go reach everyone. And. But thinking about this, I realized the Great Commission has kind of two aspects to it. And sometimes we as Christians get caught up in the one and neglect the other, and vice versa. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And that's the idea of them coming to Christ for salvation. But then he switches a bit and he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Because originally I thought for the letter T I would do tell, you know. Go reach everyone and tell. Spread the gospel. But then I realized there's this second idea that Christ is giving us, that it is not just reaching people for salvation, but it is engaging in disciples' lives, that they would live the Christian life more and more. It's discipleship. Go reach everyone and train. Now, I originally had the word teach because he says teaching them to observe all things, but teaching is not isolated. He says teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so teaching just thinks, okay, I got to make sure that they know the facts of the Christian faith. But no, there's this idea of teaching them to observe, that we are to be involved in the lives of disciples, that they live that Christian life out. And so that word train, I think, gives the idea more that it is not just we're transferring information from people across the pews, but that we are working with our brothers and sisters in Christ to become more like Christ and to become more what we're called to do and to build up the church together. You can think of a relay race when people are running around that track and there's some people that are coming to the end of the track and they're passing that baton to the next individual that they would fulfill that race. And the second phase of this Great Commission is that we are to invest in the lives of those who are already Christians to build one another up in the Lord. That is part of the Great Commission. It's not just reaching the lost with the gospel. It's reaching each other. It's we as a church coming together and giving letting the love of God that has been placed in our hearts overflow into each other's lives. It is realizing that God has made you, as a man or woman, in the body of Christ, a unique and special place and gift that is meant for somebody else next to you, in front of you, behind you, across the aisle. The Great Commission is more than just salvation. It's the mutual sanctification of the church. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're given this picture of Christ giving gifts to the church for a certain purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, we'll jump back to verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That actually speaks of the resurrection, I believe. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended, came to earth, is also the one who ascended, resurrected far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, here it is. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, right there, you're thinking, okay, in order for me to be involved in discipling somebody else, I have to be a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. No. It says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The job of these guys that God has given to the church is to equip you to do ministry. To equip you specifically to be able to, what? Edify the church. Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does that word edifying mean? It means building up. Building up. There is a life that God wants you to influence, to build up, to become closer to God, more Christ-like. God has given you a specific gift. And what we do here as a church is realize those gifts and realize those talents and realize those opportunities that God has given us to be an influence in each other's lives. Equipping of the saints for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a beautiful picture. But what that means is that means it's going to be different from person to person. Just like with reaching out with the gospel, we each have different spheres of influence, different areas that we're working. So it is with discipleship. Your gift is different from somebody else's. You might have the gift of faith. That you have been given an ability by God to trust Him in dire circumstances that is unique to you. And when you interact with somebody who needs that faith in their situation, you can give that and share that. And all of a sudden, that person is trusting the Lord in and through the situation. Some have the gift of giving. That your heart is just, you just want to give to others in a way to meet their needs. Whether it be financial or whether it be through other resources like your time. You're willing to give your time to help somebody else, to interact with somebody who's in need. Some have the gift of service. That your heart is you just want to serve others, that you see that there's this struggle that somebody has, this burden somebody has, and you want to serve them to meet that struggle, to share some of that burden on your own shoulders. Some have the gift of teaching, that God has given you the ability to unpack truth that somebody needs to hear that they didn't realize before. You think, I never realized that. That's so helpful for my situation. Thank you. The key is this. The Great Commission is something out there, but it's also something in here. It's something that we do as we build relationships within the body of Christ based on the love of God. And I think that's interesting because if you just look around the room and look at everybody around you, you think to yourself, we're all very different. We all have different interests. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different upbringings, but we're all here for the same purpose. We're all here for the same cause. And we all have the same duty. Go reach everyone and train. Can we take a moment to pray and ask God, God, you've blessed me by being a part of this body of Christ. What is it you want me to do to help somebody else? How can I reach out to those who are in need? And God will put on your heart that specific hole, that specific piece of the puzzle that He has shaped you for, and He wants to place you in that. And it fits. Don't you ever, listen to me, don't you ever think that God has no use for you in the Great Commission. Don't you ever think that God does not want to use you to reach those who are lost and to build up other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's going to be hard, and sometimes we have sin in our lives. We can't do it. There's hypocrisy. There's compromise. Come to Christ and repent. Turn to Him. He will forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll restore you, and He'll use you. Some of us may have a satanic stronghold. We're chained to darkness for some reason, and that chain is keeping us down and keeping us from going and doing what we're supposed to do. We take that to the Lord and we say, Lord Jesus, you've commissioned me, therefore you have the power to break this chain. Break it. The chains will be broken and you'll be used of God in the Great Commission. Some of us are afraid of being hurt. We've been hurt in the past. When we shared the gospel with somebody, it turned out to make our situation in life more difficult. Or we tried to be an influence in somebody else's life and they turned around and just hurt us. And so we kind of recoil and we don't want to. But remember, Jesus Christ Himself was hurt when He was sharing the love of Christ to those around Him. He had people betray Him. He had people who once hailed Him as Messiah demand that He be crucified. And that's why He can look at you and He can say, blessed are you when they revile you, when they mistreat you for My name's sake. Blessed are you. It's not you that they're hurting. It's Me. It's because of Me. So you come to Him and you say, you know, Lord, I understand. You understand that what it means to be hurt. Therefore, I will no longer fear what man can do to me. I will fear You, and I will go. The Great Commission is great. Go reach everyone and train. Seek the Lord's will for your life to share with those who need Christ. Seek the Lord's will for your life with how God wants to use you in the body of Christ. This church has been blessed with many opportunities and many acts of service, many fulfillments of the Great Commission. But I think right now, and I think you all can confess, that we're at a turning point. People's desire in this church to see the Great Commission fulfilled, I feel like, is beyond my ability to catch up and lead. And so let's come together with one heart, repent of those things that are hindering us, seek the Lord together, work together to fulfill this Great Commission. And I'll close with this. For the couple of years, I had the opportunity to go with somebody to the Operation Christmas Child Packing Center. We collect all these items, we put them in the boxes, and then we send them off to somewhere. But there's an opportunity to go to a warehouse where Christians are gathering from all over for the sole purpose of preparing these boxes to be sent off. And when I went to that, it was really eye-opening. Because there were hundreds, perhaps thousands of people in this big warehouse. And they were all stationed in different parts of the warehouse. And each person had their own specific role. Somebody was, their job was to take a box, open it up, get rid of stuff that doesn't belong. Take another box, open it up, see where other things can be put in. Somebody was there, all their job was to take it and tape it. Somebody else took the tape boxes and put it in the box. And every person was working together to send these boxes out to children all over the world who don't know Christ. Now, when you look at that, you think, if one person was absent, it wouldn't really make much of a difference, would it? Would it? It would make a difference. And in this operation that we've been placed in, the work of God through you is going to make a difference. That's encouraging. And when you go to heaven and you look back, you'll say, Lord, that commission was great. I had that one opportunity, that one life, and you made it great. Now I will worship you for what you've done. That's our vision. Let's pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, and thank you for all the abundant resources that are found in Jesus. We don't need man-made talents, methods, and manipulative means. We need the power of Christ. Fill each of us. Use each of us. And make yourself known. For you told us in that great commission not only to go. Lord Jesus, you told us, behold, I am with you always. Thank you for being with us always, now and even to the end of the age. We are open, Lord. We are open to you. Lead us, equip us, use us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.